Blog Talk Radio.
This is Adrienne from Bisocial Network, and we have a really special treat for us, hopefully. We have Kirsten Sinemam from Arizona, who's supposed to come on our air very momentarily and discuss with us a little bit about the midterm elections and politics and Arizona, what's happening with the voters, what's happening right now with the midterm elections. And so as we wait for her to call, I want to just give you some background on her. She is the top, she just won the Time Magazine 40 Under 40 recognition, where she's the leader of the new leaders of her party and one to watch. So I'm very interested in talking with her and speaking with her because I've actually been looking at her information. Of course, you know, on Bisocial Network, you see her video, put her video up there. And it was very interesting. I found I wanted to know more. And I'm just looking at her website, ksinemam.org. And it's just, it's interesting. It's she is running for state senate now, and right now she is in the she's a representative about 3 years, and now she's running for state senate. And a lot of things that I think the LGBT community looks for in a leader that's going to represent them is something where they're supporting our community, they're supporting our causes and things like that. So, of course, she has been basically numerous awards and endorsements, for example, Planned Parenthood, for example, and Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund. So I want to talk to her a little bit about the issues that's going on in the LGBT community. But also, for me, I'm always interested in things that's hot button topics, for example. I'm very interested in problems with the economy right now. I've been talking to people all around the, my state, which is Chicago, and a lot of people, you know, middle class families, men and women, all out there are, you know, searching for new ideas and new ways to keep jobs or get jobs. And so those things are very important to me. And I want to talk about those issues with Kirsten and just to see what her point of view is. But one of the things, too, I will, before she gets online, is that, you know, November 1st is our I Am Visible campaign. And we will be having kind of an intro, I think, to a video, intro video, that we're going to post on our YouTube site very momentarily. And I hope you guys like it. So November 1st kicks off the new I Am Visible campaign. And I'm looking forward to the site being up and, you know, seeing how we can move forward with that. And, but if anyone hasn't seen that video with Kirsten, you guys check it out. It's on our website, and I believe it's on our front page. Oh, there she is. I hope she knows that there. I'm going to put her in line, and we'll talk to her in a moment. Hi, Bi-Talk Radio. You're on the air.
Hi, it's this is Kirsten Sinema.
Hi, how are you? I'm so glad you called. It's we're kind of on the same track when it comes to the radio show. We're live, so I want to thank you for joining our radio show. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm very well. I've been looking at you. I wanted to say, first of all, congrats on the winning the 40 Under 40 honors with Time Magazine. How did you feel about, how did you hear about that new honor that you got? Did you get the call from Time Magazine?
No, I actually received an email from Time Magazine with just saying, please call us at your convenience. And so I, of course, thought it was going to be an interview about immigration or healthcare, gay rights, you know, issues that I work on every day. So when I called in, it turns out that they had chosen me for this list. So I was quite surprised.
Oh, my God. I know. I mean, that's interesting. Well, I mean, how do you take that? So you know that you are the next wave future of politics. I mean, that's a big honor to take that.
Well,
take that.
I hope I'm not the next. I hope I'm not the next wave. I kind of think I'm the current wave. That's my hope.
Well, I'm saying you're moving into, and it's going to be from, you know, now, the next 5, 10, 20 years, you're going to be the person that we look up to for solving our problems in Arizona and beyond. So I want to say congratulations on that.
Well, thank you.
I was most, yeah. I mean, I'm interested. For me, I'm going to talk about some very broad range, because I know we have limited time. But for me, I'm always talking to people. I live in Chicago, but I'm sure Arizona has the same type of issues all across the state. And so I'm going to just ask you a couple things. What's happening in Arizona with your voters? What are the hot-button issues right now for them? And what are the things that people are concerned about with this midterm election?
Well, in Arizona, there's only one thing that people care about, and it's immigration. So, unfortunately, that issue has, while it's an important issue, it has kind of overtaken everything else. So there's not a lot of focus on jobs, not a lot of focus on the economy. It's mostly just about immigration.
Wow. I mean, so, oh, okay. So that's about, you're here in Chicago, it's jobs focused. So basically, either you're for immigration, illegal immigration, or you're against immigration. What's your stand on the immigration issue for your state?
Well, my stand is pretty similar to the stand of most Americans around the country, and that is that I'm looking for a tough and comprehensive solution that solves the issues that we're facing here in Arizona and around the nation. You know, Arizona's ground zero for the immigration fight, and we deal with the effects of a broken border policy every single day. You know, and I agree with folks from all over the country that there's really only one solution, and that is that we have to do three things. Number one, we have to find some way to get some security in the border so we can stop the folks who are engaging in violent human trafficking, violent drug smuggling, and violent gun smuggling across our borders. Number two, we've got to figure out some way to help our immigration policy be more market friendly. We need to recognize that employers need workers, and we need to have an immigration system that's adjustable to meet the needs of our market. And we also have to hold employers accountable. Some employers follow the rules and do what's right, and other employers kind of engage in cheating behavior, and that's not fair. They're taking advantage of the system. And then finally, we have to find a way to settle the status of the 12 million people who are already here living and working in our country. And that means that we've got to, you know, ask those people to get in line, have them pay some back taxes, pay a fee, learn English, and then get access to, you know, the American dream so they can become workers and get really try and come out of the shadows and be a part of our economy.
Well, speaking of the American dream, I mean, I've been talking all across my state about, you know, middle-class families, men and women all across who lost their jobs or looking for jobs. I mean, what is your state having problems with on jobs? Is it more middle class, poverty workers, or is it just that the minimum wage has been caught up with the economy? What's happening in Arizona?
Well, you know, Arizona has the second highest job loss rate in the entire country. We're losing jobs faster than anyone else in the state and in the country, and that's largely because of the failed policies of our governor and the Republican-controlled legislature. They've been slashing funding so deeply that it's not only cut state jobs, but it's also slashed private contracts and really hurt our ability to maintain and create new jobs. So we've been really bleeding jobs pretty badly over the last 2 years, and That's corresponded to the second highest foreclosure rate in the entire country. Only Nevada beats us in terms of foreclosures right now.
Wow. I mean, I've just been hearing all the very hard stories about men and women who haven't found jobs in 2 years, not only about, you know, foreclosure on houses, but the fact that they have literally been looking for, you know, for positions, or they don't have the skills necessary for today's market. When you're looking for a job, for example, you're always looking, you have to look online, this kind of thing, but, you know, factory workers and middle-class workers sometimes have issues with that. And so I've been talking with people, and they just kind of at a loss. What do you think that the Democratic side of politics has traditionally from the Republican side or the two-party side? Or, you know?
Well, I think the bottom line is that America has to be focused on how to create jobs. And the number one way to create jobs is to invest in new technologies, green energy, solar energy, and high-tech investment. And that's the kind of things we need to be putting our focus on. And unfortunately, Republicans and Tea Party candidates across the country only want to take our state and our country backwards. They don't want to invest in these new important technologies. And that's really holding us back. I think that they are connected to this idea of, you know, construction as the method of growth. And that's just not realistic for today's economy. So we need to move forward with some of the endeavors that Congress has already started in terms of helping us become the leader in green energy around the globe.
Okay. I have a couple of quick hot-button questions. I'm going to give you a topic, and I'm going to have you give us a word or a sentence on what you think about this hot topic. So the first one is middle-class families or union workers. What is your stance on helping them?
Well, middle-class families are the ones who are being most squeezed by the failed policies of Republicans in my state and the history of George Bush's policies. So I think we have a duty to help middle-class families, number one, get back on their feet and build a stronger economy.
Absolutely. Okay, number two, Lori, how can you lower unemployment in your state? What are some of the ideas you have?
Well, number one, the best way to lower unemployment is to invest in new jobs, new diverse economies. So, for instance, I passed legislation last year to provide incentives for research and development for technology companies. I also passed legislation to support solar industry creation in our state. That's the best way to create new jobs.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, for new technology, high-speed rail. I lived in Japan for 2 years, and high-speed rail seems to be everywhere in Europe and, you know, of course, Asia. Why can't we, as United States of America, start the high-speed rail system? What are your thoughts on that?
We actually can create high-speed rail, and in the legislation that Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi ushered through Congress this year, we actually saw a lot of funding in there for high-speed rail to come across our nation. So localities can apply for some of the grants and take access about some of this high-speed rail and get it in their communities. I think that's a perfect example of how Congress really has stepped up to the plate and answered the needs of middle America. We need more of that kind of investment in our country.
I think so. I think I was at a rally with Bill Clinton yesterday, and he said that nobody knows this, but President Obama put in $50 million for a budget for high speed rail, and we don't talk about these things. It's very important ways to create jobs.
Well, it's been hard to get through some of the rhetoric that happens during campaign time. People tend to focus on the most negative aspects of a campaign, and they're focusing on calling names instead of really looking at the accomplishments that this Congress has made in the last 2 years. The high-speed rail is a perfect example. And, you know, investment in small businesses around the country, that's another great example. Ensuring that we have opportunities for small businesses to get low-interest loans, that's another great way to spur business. And these are the kind of things that have been left out in this year's debate, unfortunately.
You're a past educator. How can we better our public school system? What are your thoughts on making it better for not only the poor but middle-class families to have a decent education?
Well, I'm actually a current educator as well. I'm a part-time professor at Arizona State University, which is the largest public university in the entire country with over 90,000 students. I also worked for 10 years in the K-12 public education system. And in states like Arizona, the number one need is to ensure adequate funding. You know, we are last in the entire nation for per pupil spending in our country. And that means that our kids just don't get the same fair shot as other kids do at learning what they need to learn to be prepared for tomorrow's global economy. But even in other states around the country, we have to continue to invest strongly in public education and then ensure that we have high standards and that we request accountability so that we know people are working every single day to make our education system more nimble and more adaptable to tomorrow's global economy. That means investing in things like science, technology, engineering, math, ensuring that all kids have access to computers, and that teachers get the opportunity to have the kind of training they need to be able to teach kids to be prepared for tomorrow's global economy.
Absolutely. I totally agree there. I'm going to talk to, you know, we're a bisexual network, is a bisexual site. And so I want to, I know you've been doing a lot of legislation with the LGBT community. What are your beliefs right now? Everybody's kind of angry with Obama about don't ask, don't tell and same-sex marriage. Do you feel that we can do more, or you think that we need more time, or what is the issue on the don't ask, don't tell policy moving forward?
Well, I think President Obama has made it very clear that he believes we need to end the discriminatory practice of don't ask, don't tell. And to be honest, I feel a little frustrated when people around the nation are attacking him for what's happening right now. And the reason why is pretty simple. The attorneys in the Justice Department are doing what attorneys do. Now, as someone, I'm also an attorney, and what attorneys do when they lose a case is appeal. That's normal. That's the standard practice. And I think Obama's letting that process happen so that he can't be accused of interfering with the normal judicial process. But I know 100% that he's committed to full equality for LGBT Americans and, frankly, all Americans. And so I believe that he's moving forward, and he's working with the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the heads of our military outlets to be ready to eliminate Don't Ask, Don't Tell as soon as is possible.
Thank you. I have the same viewpoint issue. I totally believe that is what is going on. I've been talking to a few people, and I've been frustrated, too, talking to my LGBT friends and supporters about this whole issue. So I'm glad you actually hit the head, you know, right on the head on that. Tell me what you want to tell your voters about why they should vote for you on November 2nd.
Well, I hope that my record speaks for itself. You know, I've been serving in the state legislature for 6 years, and during that time I have been a strong and loud voice for equality for all people, not just the LGBT community. And as I began moving over to the Senate, I started focusing on what were more activities that I could do to help my district be the very strongest and economically safe district possible. So I've been working on projects to spur job creation, like the research and development work I've done and like the solar work that I've done. But I've also fought hard for the rights of all Arizonans to be free and to practice their life in the way that's most comfortable and safe for them. And I think that's really living up to the highest ideals in our country, is to ensure that people are free and that they can be secure in taking care of their families and preparing for the future. And I hope to continue my strong record of advocacy for the people of Arizona when I move to the state Senate this year.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much. Where can people find more information about your causes and your record?
Well, you know, it's very easy to find information about me. Probably the best place to go is my website, www.k, that's my first initial, cinema, S-I-N-E-M-A, that's my last name, .org, www.kcinema.org. But if folks really want to learn even more about me, they can just Google me, because there are media reports and TV interviews and newspaper articles almost every single day of the year in which I am quoted or interviewed on a variety of issues. And that's a great way to find out information about me.
Thank you so much. I've checked everything out, but I wanted you to give that plug. And I want to thank you for taking time to talk to Bisocial Network. I know we're new, and you gave us a moment of your time. I know you're busy with the election, and I really wish you luck and huge success, and I hope that we come out on top November 2nd.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and so you heard her. You can go check her website out and learn more about her. And it's just interesting talking with her, and she had to go. She had a 15-minute break. She's really busy. She's, you know, running for, you know, state senate. So she's gave us a time to talk with her, and hopefully we can talk with her a little bit longer another time. And I really enjoyed it. And till next time, where our regular scheduled program happens on the third week of the month, which is the October. So I want to thank everybody for joining us in this special edition of Bike Talk Radio. And until next time, I'm a little nervous, but until next time, take care. And don't forget, November 1st is the I Am Visible campaign. And you can learn more at visible.bisocialnetwork.com, November 1st. Until next time, I'll talk to you later. Bye.